All right, let's shrink our assumptions today
I like that.
and take a deep dive into something you probably haven't thought much about.
Right.
How shrinkage affects those plastic products we use all the time every day.
Yeah, it's everywhere, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
We've got excerpts from a technical document all about it, and trust me, this is fascinating
Oh,
stuff.
yeah.
Have you ever wondered why some plastic parts don't quite fit together,
Right.
right? Or why you see those little dents sometimes?
Yeah.
Well, you're about to find out.
Absolutely.
So what's really interesting here is that it all comes down to the way molecules move
Right.
as plastic cools and hardens.
Yeah, it's like a microscopic ballet.
Oh, wow.
But instead of dancers, we've got these tiny little molecules all jostling for position.
Okay, so let's break this down. Like, why does plastic shrink
Right.
in the first place?
Well, think about it this way.
Yeah.
When plastic is hot, all its molecules are energized and spread out like a crowd at a concert. And then as the plastic cools down, those molecules lose energy.
Right.
They start to pack in closer together, like that same crowd settling into their seats for the show.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Yeah. And that's what causes shrinkage.
So are all plastics like equally prone to this kind of molecular huddle?
That's a great question. And actually, they're not.
Okay.
There are two main types of plastics that we talk about,
Right.
semi-crystalline and amorphous polymers.
Okay.
Semi-crystalline polymers,
Yeah.
they're like those super organized packers that can fit everything into a tiny suitcase.
Right.
Their molecules line up in this really neat and ordered way,
Yeah.
and that leads to more shrinkage.
Okay.
Amorphous polymers are kind of the opposite.
Right.
They're more like those who just toss everything into their suitcase. Their molecules are arranged randomly, and that results in less shrinkage.
Interesting. So the type of plastic really determines how
Yeah.
much it shrinks. So what does this mean for like the actual products we use?
Right. So that's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Both excessive and insufficient shrinkage can actually cause problems.
Oh, okay.
Let's start with excessive shrinkage. Imagine you're building a model car, and the pieces are just slightly too small. They're
Right.
not going to fit together properly.
Yeah.
And the same thing happens with plastic products.
Okay.
If there's too much shrinkage, parts can end up smaller than intended,
Yeah.
leading to gaps, misalignments, and even those annoying little dents that we were talking about before.
I've definitely experienced that frustration. It's like trying to force a puzzle piece that just won't fit.
It is. It
So
is.
what about insufficient shrinkage? Is
Right.
that always a good thing? Because it means like the parts are bigger?
It might seem that way at first, but it's not that simple.
Okay.
Insufficient shrinkage can actually create internal stress within the plastic,
Right.
making it brittle and prone to cracking. It's like stretching a rubber band too tight. It might seem strong at first, but it's just waiting to snap.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So it sounds like shrinkage is like this Goldilocks situation.
Oh,
You know, it's too
it
much, too little. You've got problems.
is. Right.
What's the ideal scenario?
You got it. That Goldilocks zone.
Yeah.
The key is to control shrinkage to a really predictable level. And that's where material selection, mold design, and processing parameters all come into play.
Okay, let's dive into those.
Let's do it.
What about material selection? Does the type of plastic really matter that much?
Absolutely, it makes a huge difference. If
Okay.
you need a part with really precise dimensions, like a gear and a watch, you'd want to choose a plastic that shrinks very little,
Okay.
like polycarbonate or ABS.
Right.
These materials have a molecular structure that naturally resists excessive shrinkage.
Interesting.
In fact, our source even mentioned a case study
Oh, wow.
where a company switched to ABS for a complex part, and they saw a significant reduction in defects just by making that material change.
That's a real-world win right
It
there.
is. It is.
So choosing the right plastic is like picking the right tool for the job.
Absolutely.
But it's not just about the material itself,
Right.
right? What about mold design?
Right.
How does that influence shrinkage?
So think about baking a cake. You need a good oven
Okay.
to ensure even heat distribution.
Right, yeah.
Otherwise, your cake will be all lopsided.
Yeah.
Same principle applies to plastic molding.
Oh.
A well-designed mold has features that promote uniform cooling, and that helps to minimize those shrinkage
So
variations.
it's like creating the perfect environment for the plastic to cool and shrink in a controlled way.
Exactly.
Okay.
One key aspect of mold design is the placement of cooling channels.
All right.
These channels are like tiny pipes that circulate cool water within the mold, ensuring that the plastic cools evenly.
Okay, so it's like strategically placed air vents in a room to make sure there's a consistent temperature throughout. I'm
Exactly.
starting to see how all these tiny details can really have a big impact.
They do.
What about gate placement? You mentioned that earlier,
Yeah.
but what exactly are gates?
Right. So think of gates as the entry points for the molten plastic as it flows into the mold. Just like you'd place sprinklers in your garden to water everything evenly, the placement and size of these gates can influence how the plastic fills the mold, affecting both its density and how it shrinks.
Okay, so we've got the material,
Right.
we've got the mold, but there's still more to the story,
Oh,
right?
absolutely. There's a whole other layer of control. That comes from adjusting the processing parameters.
Okay.
Think of it like fine-tuning a recipe.
Okay.
You might need to adjust the oven temperature or baking time to get the perfect cake.
Right.
Similarly, factors like injection speed and pressure can significantly influence shrinkage.
Okay, this is where I need a little more explanation.
Here.
What exactly do you mean by injection speed?
So imagine filling a water balloon.
Okay.
If you try to fill it too quickly, the balloon might burst.
Right.
Same principle applies to plastic injection molding. If the molten plastic is injected into the mold too quickly, it can create internal stresses and uneven cooling, leading to warping and shrinkage problems.
So slower is better when it comes to injection speed.
Generally, yes.
Okay.
Slowing down the injection speed allows the plastic to flow more smoothly and evenly into the mold, reducing stress and promoting uniform cooling.
Okay.
It's like taking a deep breath before a challenging task. You're
Right.
giving yourself time to prepare and execute it more effectively.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
What about pressure?
Right.
How does that play into the shrinkage equation?
Pressure is all about ensuring that the mold is completely filled with plastic.
Yeah.
Too little pressure, and you might end up with incomplete parts or voids. Too much pressure.
Yeah.
And you can force the plastic into areas it shouldn't go, leading to flash or excess material.
It sounds like finding the right balance is key. Right.
Exactly. And just like with injection speed, pressure can influence the internal stress and cooling behavior of the plastic, ultimately impacting shrinkage.
So we've got material selection, mold design, and processing parameters all working together to control shrinkage.
Right.
Is there anything else designers and manufacturers need to consider?
There's one more tool that's become indispensable in the fight against shrinkage:
Okay.
simulation software.
All right.
Imagine being able to predict the future,
Oh,
or
wow.
at least the future of your plastic part.
Interesting.
That's essentially what simulation software allows you to do.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
We're talking about predicting how much a plastic part will shrink
Yeah.
before it's even made.
Precisely.
Wow.
Simulation software uses sophisticated algorithms to model the entire molding process, taking into account all those factors we've discussed:
Right.
material properties,
Yep.
mold design,
Yeah.
and processing parameters.
Okay.
It's like having a virtual laboratory where you can experiment with different variables
Right.
and see how they affect the final product.
So instead of relying on trial and error,
Right.
which I imagine can be costly and time-consuming,
Yeah, very much so.
you can use this software to identify potential problems
Yep.
before they even occur.
Exactly.
Wow.
Simulation software allows you to pinpoint areas of the mold that might be prone to uneven cooling or excessive stress,
Right.
and then adjust the design or processing parameters accordingly.
Okay.
It's like having a crystal ball
Yeah.
that shows you potential shrinkage pitfalls before they even happen.
That's incredible.
It is.
It sounds like this software is a game changer for plastic manufacturers.
Absolutely.
But all this talk about controlling shrinkage makes
Yeah.
me wonder, what are the real-world consequences
Right.
if it's not managed properly?
Sure.
Does it really affect the final product that much?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Our source highlights a few key areas
All right.
where inconsistent shrinkage can wreak havoc.
Oh, it.
First off, it can completely throw off dimensional accuracy. You expect a perfect fit, but because of shrinkage variations,
Yeah.
parts might come out too small, leaving gaps, or too large, creating tight fits that are difficult to assemble.
And I bet that leads to a lot of frustration on the assembly line.
You bet.
Yeah.
It can also affect the overall appearance of the product.
Yeah.
We've all seen those unsightly surface marks or warping caused by excessive shrinkage.
Right.
Imagine a brand new car with a warped dashboard.
Yeah.
Not exactly a selling
It's
point.
all about those details, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's the impact on internal quality.
Okay.
Excessive shrinkage often means a weaker internal structure,
Right.
making the product more susceptible to damage. On the other hand, insufficient shrinkage can lead to high internal stress, making it brittle and prone to cracking.
So it's this delicate balance between too much and too little shrinkage.
Yes.
It's like trying to find the Goldilocks zone of plastic production.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And that's why monitoring shrinkage is so crucial for product reliability.
Right.
You need to ensure consistent quality and prevent those nasty surprises down the line.
It seems like shrinkage is this hidden factor that can make or break a product.
It really is.
Wow.
And that's why it's so important for designers and manufacturers to understand the science behind it and use the tools and techniques available to control it.
So what are some of those monitoring techniques?
Okay.
How do you keep a close eye on this sneaky shrinkage?
Well, real-time analysis tools can provide immediate feedback on shrinkage levels during production.
Okay.
And of course, regular quality control checks are essential to ensure that everything is meeting those strict standards.
Okay. So we've covered the general principles
right.
of how shrinkage affects plastic products.
Yeah.
But to really grasp the impact, let's dive into some specific examples.
Yeah, sure.
Our source material mentions a few real-world scenarios.
Yeah.
Where shrinkage played a major role.
Absolutely. One that immediately comes to mind is the automotive industry.
Right.
Think about all the plastic components in a modern car.
Right.
Dashboards.
Yep.
Door panels.
Yeah.
Bumpers. You name it.
Yeah.
Controlling shrinkage is crucial in these applications.
Okay.
Not only for aesthetics, but also for functionality and safety.
Now that you mention it, I remember reading about a case where a car manufacturer had to recall thousands of vehicles because of shrinkage issues in the dashboard.
Oh, wow.
I bet those kinds of situations are a nightmare for manufacturers.
They definitely are.
Yeah.
And it highlights the importance of getting shrinkage right from the start.
Right.
Another interesting example from the source material is the world of electronics.
Okay.
The casings for smartphones,
yeah.
laptops, and other devices are often made of plastic.
Right.
And these parts require incredibly precise dimensions.
Mm.
Even the slightest shrinkage variation can throw everything off.
That makes me think about all those times I've struggled to get a phone case to snap on correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe shrinkage was the culprit.
It's certainly possible, and it's not just about fit.
Sure.
Shrinkage can also affect the appearance of electronic devices.
Right.
Those unsightly surface marks, or warping we talked about earlier, can really detract from the sleek, modern aesthetic that consumers expect.
Right. Those little imperfections can really take away from the overall user experience.
They can.
What other industries are particularly sensitive to shrinkage issues?
The medical device industry is another one that comes to mind.
Okay.
Think about the precision required for things like syringes,
right.
catheters, and implants.
Mm-hmm.
Shrinkage variations in these components could have serious consequences.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It's clear that controlling shrinkage isn't just about aesthetics or convenience.
Right.
It can literally be a matter of life and death in some applications.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And that's why it's so important for designers and manufacturers to understand the science behind shrinkage and use the tools and techniques available to manage it effectively.
So we've talked about how shrinkage can affect the size,
right.
shape,
mm-hmm.
and even the strength of a product.
Yeah.
But how does it impact those internal qualities that we can't see?
Well, as we mentioned earlier, excessive shrinkage can lead to a weaker internal structure, making the product more vulnerable to damage.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it like a building with weak foundations.
Okay.
It might look fine on the outside.
Yeah.
But it's not going to withstand much stress.
And on the flip side, insufficient shrinkage can create that internal stress.
Right.
Making it brittle and prone to cracking.
Exactly.
Like that rubber band stretched too tight.
Yeah, just waiting to snap.
So it really is about finding that Goldilocks zone of shrinkage.
It is. It's that balance.
You get that perfect product.
That's the key.
Yeah.
You want a product that's strong, durable,
right.
and can withstand stress.
Both internal and external. So it seems like shrinkage is this constant balancing act for manufacturers.
It really is.
They've got to be thinking about it all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
It's essential.
So we've seen how it can impact everything.
Right.
From like a phone case to a car dashboard.
Yeah, the fit, the structure.
What are some of the techniques they use to monitor and control this?
So there are a few things they do.
Okay.
One is carefully documenting the shrinkage characteristics of different plastics.
Okay.
So they know what to expect.
So it's like a shrinkage encyclopedia for plastics.
Exactly. They know, okay, if we use this material, we can expect this much shrinkage.
Right.
And that helps them choose the right material for the job.
Gotcha.
Another technique is to use specialized equipment to measure shrinkage on test parts.
Oh, so they actually make little test parts first.
Yeah, they do little trials
Okay.
to see how much it shrinks.
So they're like shrinkage detectives.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And of course, you can't forget the human element.
Right.
Experienced operators, they can often spot those subtle signs
Bye.
of shrinkage problems and make adjustments.
Before it becomes a big issue.
Exactly. They're like the front line.
Wow, so it's science,
Yeah.
technology, and human expertise
It all works together.
all coming together to make these plastic products.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
It is. I feel like I'll never look at a plastic product the same way again.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
It's about appreciating those hidden complexities.
Right, the stuff we don't normally think about.
Exactly.
So we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive into plastic shrinkage.
We have.
What's the one key takeaway you hope our listeners walk away with?
The biggest takeaway for me is this: shrinkage is a fundamental property of plastics,
Okay.
and manufacturers have to manage it carefully
Right.
to make good products.
High quality,
Not
reliable.
exactly.
Next time I pick up a plastic product, I'm going to be thinking about this.
Think about the journey it's been on
Yeah, all the steps involved.
and how they managed that shrinkage.
It's amazing.
It's a hidden world, isn't it?
It is. And that's what we're all about here on the Deep Dive.
Uncovering those hidden complexities.
Sharing those aha moments.
Exactly.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And until next time, keep exploring.